Welcome back. It's the Oklahoma Today podcast. I am your Oklahoma Today web editor, Greg Elwell, and with me, as always,
I'm Nate Gunner, and I am Oklahoma Today's editor-in-chief.
So we, last week, if you haven't listened to it yet, go on back and download that. Last week we talked about Stillwater, and in the interest of fairness, parity, all other sorts of...
And not igniting any football rivalries in the heart of football season.
This week we are talking about Norman. So I am a graduate of the Oklahoma State University, and Nate, you graduated from OU, right?
I did. I have my master's from OU. Yeah.
So we're both pretty loyal to our college towns, but I think we also, as Oklahoma Today,
we support members. all of our Oklahoma universities and schools and teams.
We love the whole state.
Yeah.
Like, if the fact that you went to college in one town means you can't enjoy the other, then
you're missing out.
There's something wrong with you.
Because Stillwater's a great town. Norman's a great town. There's nothing wrong with you, but you should get over it and go explore these awesome towns.
Yes.
You're missing out.
You're robbing yourself.
Yeah.
Of some great experiences.
Yeah.
And so.
Because I've definitely known fans on both sides who are like, known OU fans who are like, oh, I'm going to go to Stillwater. But it's awesome. We talked about it last week. If you're one of those fans, seriously, go listen to last week's episode and find out all the cool stuff doing Stillwater because it's a great little town.
Yeah. And so this time we're going to talk about Norman, which is another, my parents also OSU grads, mm-hmm. And they're that sort of diehard sort who.
Sure, yeah.
So when I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go down to Norman to try out some restaurant, they're just like, oh, take your holy water or I don't know what.
that's kind of funny, though.
But,
yeah.
But it really is. Yeah. It's just like people are people everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really care who you root for or don't root for. Like, just get out. We've got a great state.
It's a cool place
to be.
Yeah.
So you have I wanted to, before we get into the rest of it, let's make sure and thank our sponsors.
Yes.
The Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com. I also want to take a moment and thank the good people here at the Vault 405, where we are recording our podcast. If you haven't ever been, come check it out. It's a great little co-working space. Yeah. And part of membership is access to this amazing podcast studio.
Yeah.
That, frankly, we wouldn't have any of that.
Yeah, I know. They have great equipment.
You'd be listening to this on tin cans and string if it wasn't.
We would just go outside and throw our voices.
That's how I usually do it.
Yeah. Also, they have coffee and usually kind of pastries or something out there, and they're attached to Urban Agrarian, which is one of our favorite places in the state to get fresh veggies and food and Oklahoma-made products.
Oh my goodness.
We love them.
They are
in no way sponsoring the podcast, by the way, Urban Agrarian.
Urban
we just
Agrarian,
really like
them. We just love
them. Coming up at the Oklahoma State Fair, we are Oklahoma Today, one of the cooking contests there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so that's going to be great, and we're going to have a lot of fun. People are going to bring dishes and compete, and that's this week. And this coming Saturday. And the winning recipes will be published in the March-April issue of Oklahoma Today. So you not only get to come and see them made, you get to later, early next year, you get to actually try to make them for yourself and see how that turns out. So so that's exciting. But today we're talking about not Oklahoma City, where the Oklahoma State Fair is, but Norman.
So you've got a little bit on Norman history for us.
I do. So the name of Norman comes from Abner Ernest Norman, who was a surveyor from Kentucky, who was hired to oversee kind of the basically after the Civil War, the treaties and the agreements with the five tribes were realigned, mm-hmm. Because some of them sided with the Confederacy. So there was basically they were surveying the unassigned lands, trying to figure out how they were going to reassign land. And there's a whole history and it's not great. But Abner Ernest Norman was the guy who was hired to conduct this survey. He was from Kentucky and he set up a camp. And you might not know this, but today, if you know Norman geography at all, at the corner of Klassen and Lindsay, over in East Norman is where that camp was.
Huh.
And it was called Norman's Camp. And so after the land run, when the town was actually founded, about 150 people from the land run ended up in Norman, in what we consider Norman today, and they kept the name. They dropped the camp, and they just called it Norman. So that's how Norman got its name. It was founded officially in 1889 with the first land run, as were many towns in central Oklahoma, including Moore and Oklahoma City. And then the next year, the University of Oklahoma was established there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was established in 1890. I'm sure almost everyone's at least been to the OU campus at least once, and you may have noticed that the architecture is very unique. It's very, it was based a lot on sort of the Ivy League schools back east, but they sort of put their own twist on it, and it's called, what's called Cherokee Gothic is the name of that architecture. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Yeah.
I was kind of wondering if that has something to do with the color of the brick versus because it's very red.
Yeah.
And I love it. But it really, I mean, the buildings mimic the school's colors, crimson and cream, so much when you're driving through there. It's a really neat bit of design.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure which came first. I'm not sure which is the chicken and which is the egg there. But I spent a little bit of time living in Connecticut, and the buildings really do, like, they look like Yale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that very kind of Ivy League look to them, because they wanted it to appear, you know, they wanted, like, this is an actual university, and it's, you know, respectable, and we're offering a good education here, et cetera, et cetera. So all those original buildings, at least a lot of them, are still there. One of them used to be a high school, and you can go see that on the Parrington Oval. If you've never been in the spring when the flowers are blooming down there on the Parrington Oval and then the South Oval, it's really, really a cool time to go because they really do up the landscaping and all that stuff. So I thought that was an interesting little bit of Norman trivia there. The Westheimer Airport was established in the 40s, and now the University of Oklahoma has a world-class aviation program, which is interesting. The meteorology program at the University of Oklahoma attracts students from all over because obviously this is the best place in the world to study meteorology.
Yeah.
When I was a student, actually, I was the graduate assistant for the broadcasting program at OU's broadcasting school. And almost without fail, some of the best students I had were always the meteorology students. Like they just had that kind of scientific, methodical mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, broadcasting is very much like press this button at this time and do this in this order. And if you mess it up, it's going to screw the whole thing up. You've seen this on the evening news, like when they have a story about one thing and then the little text at the bottom says something different.
Yeah, the Chiron, yeah.
Yeah, like it's remarkably easy to do that, you know, like people will be like, oh, I can't believe that. Like, you don't even understand. Like, it's so it is so easy to make these mistakes. And the meteorology students never did.
Huh.
They weren't the only great students I had by far, but they were unbelievably awesome. You probably also know that we'll talk about this a little bit later, but you probably also know that Norman is near Lake Thunderbird State Park, is to the east on State Highway 9. So that's a place we're going to talk about visiting. There's the Sam Noble Museum of Oklahoma History.
Oh, I love
that place. So this is an interesting story, actually. The museum wasn't always called the Sam Noble, but it used to be further up on campus. It used to be further north, right near where the football stadium is now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the items in the collection there is a pentaceratops skull, which, if you know what a triceratops is,
yeah,
sort of like a relative of a triceratops. That is the largest land mammal skull known to exist in the world. And for decades, and I'm talking...
Talk about a real five head.
Yeah. I think it actually means five-horned beast.
That's
it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Up top for that joke, Greg.
That skull has been in the collection for decades, but it was in the basement of the museum in storage, like encased in plaster and in a box. And for decades and decades, no one knew it was there. It was completely forgotten, and then it was recovered many years later and finally put on display when they built the new museum. So it was kind of this lost treasure that the university was sitting underground at the University of Oklahoma for the longest time, and then they finally were like, oh, right, we have this thing, let's put it out. Which is kind of a cool story. Every time I go down there, I kind of look at that and I think, how do you lose something this big? I mean, it's huge. It's gigantic. It's like twice as long as I am tall. People didn't know they had it down there for forever.
That's crazy.
Isn't that fascinating? Yeah. So Norman's got some cool history. It's a great town, and we think you should visit.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So what are some of your favorite Norman places?
Well, as always, a lot of my stuff is very food related. Yeah. I when I go down to Norman, most of the time I'm going down there to eat.
There's a lot of good food.
I mean, one of my favorite places is Juan del Fuego's. It's this really great little diner, breakfast and lunch, but everything kind of with a Mexican tinge to it. And so I was just writing about this the other day, but the tamales and eggs are just unbelievable. So, I mean, you've got those red pork stuffed tamales, and after they've been steamed, then they fry them.
Ooh.
Just a little, just to get them crisp. And then they put a couple of eggs, your choice. Obviously, over medium's the right way to go. Don't at me.
No, that's exactly right. Over medium.
And then you get your choice of either red or green chili sauce. Mm. And as a true gourmand, I, of course, was like, I'm going to need Christmas sauce. So a little red on one half, a little green on the other.
It's the only way to go.
Oh, it's so yeah. good. I love that place. And then there's a little Thai restaurant that not many people know about in Norman. And it's fairly recent, but it's called Chata Thai.
I've seen this. I haven't been there yet.
It's not in the most fashionable part of Norman. It's not over by the university. It's not really near campus. It's a lot more kind of suburban Norman.
Okay.
But Chata Thai has, when I go to a Thai restaurant, obviously you're going to see Pad Thai and Pad Siu and all, a lot of your favorites, which is great. Yeah. I love, I would be disappointed if I couldn't get Pad Thai at a Thai restaurant. However, they have this thing called American fried rice and I asked them about it because I was like, how do you get
makes it American?
Yeah, what is American? Well, so apparently in Thailand, much like we have our versions of cuisines from around the world,
sure,
other countries try and play off what they think Americans eat. And let me tell you, people in Thailand have some very odd ideas about American cuisine.
Is that right, huh?
So the American fried rice includes ketchup and raisins. Yes. Yep. Fried into the rice. Delicious, by the way. I know
really?
It doesn't. It's so good.
Okay.
It's so amazing. The other thing, it comes with like a fried chicken leg. And a fried hot dog that has been cut to kind of look like an octopus. And this is something that was served like at schools. Like, and so the owner, this was a dish she remembered from growing up and she wanted it on the menu. And that's what I love. I do. When we talk about fusion cuisine, obviously people are going to complain. It's like, well, I don't need Icelandic, Argentinian food. And it's like, well,
I'm always a little skeptical of it.
You may not need it, but the whole point for me is that it's viewing a different cuisine through the lens of your own. I mean, that's really that's why when you talk about a lot of fusion cuisine, French comes up first because the French cooking techniques are used in so many different things. Anyway, Chata Thai, one of my all-time favorites.
Check it out.
And then, I try to take my kids with me, so we're going to Sam Noble a lot.
Yeah.
Which is just such an amazing
facility. We took your kids there, and my nephew and niece, yeah.
Yeah. And we got it. We ended up, we liked it so much, we grabbed a membership, and we go back now.
Oh, great. I'm so glad to hear that.
Every
month
or so.
We had a lot of fun with that, yeah.
I also really love, there's a place called Adventure Town.
Oh.
And it's set up like a little town. Ooh. And it's great for the kids. They can kind of go in and it's like furniture and toys and costumes and just and this is something you see in a lot of kind of children's museums, things like that. I really love that. Give your kids a chance to sort of really engage their imaginations.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised, I think, when you see what kids think adults do. that's a good time for everybody.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
And then Andy Alligators.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Andy Alligators. It's
down there between
so
Moore
fun.
And Norman. Yeah, I haven't ever been there, but I drive by it all the time.
Oh, man. I mean, just like there's a water park. And
yeah.
There, you know, you can do so much stuff there.
Yeah.
As
Indian Hills Road off of I-35 right there. If you've driven down to Norman at all from Oklahoma City, you've seen it.
But what about you? Because obviously you've spent a lot more time there.
Yeah, I mean, I lived in Norman for a while and I went to school there. I still go down every few weeks. I get my haircut still in Norman, the same, for the same lady forever. And the lady that like cut my husband's hair in college, like she's been cutting our hair forever. So we're in Norman a lot and it's always like haircut appointment in the morning. Where are we going to have lunch? Let's hang out. Or, you know, we have my parents bought OU season tickets in 1974.
Wow.
And they've had this. So we've had the same tickets ever since. And so now my brother, my mom and I split them. There's 6 home games every year, so we each get 2. Although my mom's gotten to where she kind of prefer to watch it at home, so it's really just me and my brother now that go. But they're great seats. They're in Section 9, Row 32, Row 31, right on the 5-yard line in the north, like by the north end zone. So like anytime anything's happening in the north end zone, it's right there. So that play, listeners, if you're big OU fans, where Sam Bradford was literally flipped upside down, like did a cartwheel in the air. That happened like right there.
Huh.
Like there was one time, when Sam Bradford got hurt one time really seriously, it happened directly in front of us and you could hear it. Like you could hear the crunch. Yeah. And it was painful to listen to. And actually this, as we're recording this, not as you're listening to it, but this coming Saturday, as we're talking, OU is playing South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And my brother is taking my 5-year-old nephew to his very first OU game.
Oh, that's gonna
be adorable. They're going to use our seats and go to that. Yeah. And there's this great guy named Vince who had some kind of throat injury or something. And he speaks with a voice box.
Yeah.
And he's the sweetest guy. And every time there's a – and he's been sitting there forever and a day. But every time there's a touchdown, he like high-fives everyone in the section. And there's some new people next to us at the last game, and they were like, this is a very high-fivey section. We're like, well, yeah, Vince is right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Vince is right there.
Yeah, and he's great. And so it's a really fun time and a really special thing to get to go, you know. But I love Norman. I've spent a ton of time there. I would live there if I could. My husband works in Edmond, and I work, you know, we work downtown, so mm-hmm. It doesn't really work commute-wise for us to live down there. But if I could, I would. Like, it would be – I love that town so much. Post haircuts is kind of our big thing now, and it's like, where are we going to eat? What are we going to have for lunch? What are we craving? And it's almost impossible to decide every time. Like, I always joke that our favorite restaurant is, I don't care, what do you want? it's every couple's favorite restaurant, I think. Like, I don't know, I don't care, what sounds good to you? Great, let's go there. But obviously, there's some really famous places, right? Like, there's the Mont.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't ever been to the Mont, if you've never had a swirl, if you drink, you know, it's a frozen.
It's a margarita and a sangria.
Yes, a frozen margarita, together. Frozen sangria, so swirled good. Together. So good. I get a really bad cold headache, so you have to drink them really slow, which is a good thing because they're strong.
Goes very well with cheese fries.
Very well with cheese fries. Or my favorite thing on their menu is their chicken nachos.
Ooh.
Oh, their chicken nachos are. There's literally nothing special about them. Like, they're chicken nachos. Like, they're loaded up, you know, with the guacamole and sour cream and all the stuff. But like, I don't know, man. It's like, I was there last week or a couple weeks ago, and I was looking at the menu and I was like, okay, Nate, okay, try something new. You always get those chicken nachos. Try something new. And I finally just caved and I was like, no, I want the nachos. They're too good. So that place is great. Classic 50s is a must stop every game day. So Classic 50s is sort of the Sonic model, like where you pull up and you pull in and there's the car hops and all that stuff. It's very Sonic-y. But their burgers are excellent. Everything there is excellent. So they have great, great, great burgers. I recommend the jalapeno burger if you're a fan of spicy stuff. But my favorite thing there, and the real big reason to go, is they do their sodas. They spike them with candy. Hmm. You can order them. So the most famous one is the Spriddle, which is Skittles and a Sprite. Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent, excellent. But my favorite one is the Hot Tamale Dr. Pepper. So they put a whole bunch of hot tamales in a Dr. Pepper. Oh, man, that's some good stuff. And if you were to mix it with some Fireball, hypothetically, that might also be good. But I'm going to claim on this podcast that I don't know from experience. There's, you know, so many legendary. The diner on Main Street in Norman is, you know, it's been on Guy Fieri's show. And it's this great little – it's a diner. It's just a breakfast and lunch type of classic diner. Excellent. Very famous. Pizza Shuttle is a favorite of OU students. It was a favorite of mine when I was in grad school. I ordered many a late night takeout from Pizza Shuttle on Lindsay. And of course, the Library Bar and Grill. The library is such a classic Norman institution. It's there on Boyd, right by campus, kind of straight across from the Fred Jones Museum, the Museum of Art there on campus. And it's so legendary. I was there one time having a drink with some friends, and the next table over, there was a girl who was an OU student, and her cell phone rang, and she picked it up, and she's like, "Oh, hey, Mom. Yeah, I'm at the library. Yeah, the bar." Like, it didn't even occur to the mom that, like, when you say the library, if you say you're in Norman at the library, it doesn't even occur to people that you're at the, like, university library studying. Like, you've got to be at the bar.
Yeah.
So that's an excellent place to go as well. So there's so much good food to be had in Norman. Probably my very, very favorite place right now is Tarahumara's.
Oh, yeah.
Mexican. Over there in East Norman on Porter. Avocado enchiladas. It's the only place, the only Mexican food place I've ever seen that has avocado enchiladas.
Huh.
And they are creamy and savory and the most delicious thing I have ever tasted. I would eat them every meal if it wouldn't kill me. But they are great. But my other favorite thing about Tarahumara's is if you are eating healthy, they actually do have a great selection of, like, you can get, like, grilled fish with vegetables, grilled chicken with vegetables. Like, if you're kind of restaurant eating,
yes,
if you're trying to eat healthy, is really dicey. And Tarahumara's really does have a selection of really, like, you know, it's probably still not as healthy as if you grilled it yourself at home, but you definitely can go in a good direction diet-wise if you're trying to do that. So highly recommend. 702 North Porter is where that place is located. It's over sort of south of the Norman Regional Hospital there on Porter.
And I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention Othello's.
Oh, legendary.
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 So yeah. Legendary that I actually interviewed the legend, Barry Switzer.
Yeah, and Othello's. This was in Bon Appetit magazine.
Yeah. My one appearance in Bon Appetit magazine.
So far.
But Patsy Benzo, the owner of Othello's, was really great friends with Barry Switzer, and they had both gone through divorces at roughly the same time, and Barry Switzer was at Othello's like every night.
Wow.
So much so that Patsy basically gave him his own table, and there's a little plaque on there at the Table of Truth that is reserved. You're not allowed to sit there. That is for Barry Switzer. Huh. If he decides to come in, that's his table.
Wow. So like if he comes in and somebody's sitting there, do they have
I don't think that – I don't think they let people sit there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Huh. That's interesting.
But I, you know, such an amazing place and really great.
Yeah.
So when one of my first jobs was in, I grew up in Edmond.
Yep.
And one of my first jobs was at a place that is now called Othello's.
Mm-hmm.
But was then the London House. And so there's a relation there between the different Othellos. So there's an Othello's Edmond as well as one in Norman.
Yeah.
But the one in Norman also has, they've got great live music. They do open mic comedy nights there. And in fact, I think that's like a weekly thing there at Othello's in Norman. So
yeah.
I love that place. The other one is Blackbird.
I haven't been to Blackbird.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, it's new American cuisine, which that really just kind of means it's like good food done really well.
Okay.
I mean, that's what it
sure.
is. And
yeah.
And their bar's amazing there too. Yeah. They're connected with Blue.
Blue is great.
Yeah.
They have excellent cocktails.
So, those are some of my favorite places. You mentioned working with some meteorology students.
Mm-hmm.
Another place, if you are interested in the weather, so the National Weather Service has a center in Norman, but there's also the National Weather Museum and Science Center in Norman. That's on Rock Creek Road.
Yep.
It's been there since 2016, I think. And
I think that's right.
Yeah, you can go
North
in
Norman.
And it's not – you learn about how they do things now, but also they've got, like, historical weather instruments.
Yeah.
And it will shock and frighten you how in the dark we were. I mean, when we talk about response times and to storms, so much of this stuff really did come from Oklahoma. And I mean, Doppler
on TV was pioneered right here by Gary England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really amazing to go down there and see some of this stuff.
In fact, you know, all of those Storm Lab scenes in Twister were actually filmed at what was at the time the National Severe Storms Lab at Max Westheimer Airport, which now that NSSL is at the National Weather Center down in the south part of campus. But at the time, it was at the Max Westheimer Airport, and they filmed all of those scenes were actually filmed in the real NSSL.
That's crazy.
I know. Isn't that cool? Yeah.
We've got to get to our events listings here, and we always like to start off with an event for when we're talking about cities, talk about an event that's happening in the city. And so at the Sam Noble Museum, which we had already talked a little bit about.
My nephew's favorite place.
if you can get away from the dinosaur bones and the bugs and all of those amazing items, you should definitely go and look, take a look at A Giving Heritage, Wedding Clothes in the Osage Community. It opened September 14th, and it'll be displayed through the 8th of December. It explores the history of bridal attire among the Osage. The exhibition features beautiful jackets based on early 19th century military uniforms that have a special place among the Osage. Once used as gifts from U.S. military personnel to Osage leaders, these coats can be seen as a symbol of the interplay between two cultures and have also come to symbolize the joining of families through marriage, which that's such
so cool.
It's so beautiful, really. I mean, there's a, you know, I think a lot of people focus on the natural history, but there's a huge, huge section of Sam Noble that is dedicated to Native American history through Oklahoma and understanding the peoples who were here and the peoples who were moved here.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely very interactive and some amazing Native American art there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Something everybody should take a look at.
Quick detour, has some excellent Native American art on campus is in the library.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the main library on campus. One of the reasons I like to walk through is that there's some really great works just kind of hanging out in there by the Kiowa Six.
Oh, wow.
So, like, Spencer Assaw and Stephen Mopope and all these guys have, like, there's works that they did just hanging out in the library. Like, as you walk through from the front entrance there all the way to the back as you kind of walking, like, we always cut through to go to the stadium, there's some cool Kiowa Six art in there. So it's worth taking a trip through the library.
Quick shout-out, by the way, to our Native American issue, our Cowboys and Indians issue that we did just a couple months back.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen it, guys, definitely go out. If you can find it, it's got this amazing beaded bison skull on the cover by Matthew Bearden.
It's an Osage warrior.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. It's the beaded skull's on the inside.
Yeah. That was all at the Oklahoma Judicial Center up in Oklahoma City, the Supreme Court building. Yeah.
But definitely, if you're interested in the Kiowa Six and you're interested in Native American art, absolutely, that is one to go pick up. And
for sure.
Just a quick drop this in there, but if you want to make sure that you don't ever miss an issue of Oklahoma Today, head over to oklahomatoday.com and click the subscribe now link, and let's get you some magazines,
because
we would love to have you guys reading the magazine. We put our entire lives really
into it. We
work
really
hard.
we
love that thing.
I don't eat right. I don't sleep. But that was a good plug. Very sly.
Thank you so much.
Continuing with our events and moving out of Norman for a minute, the McAllister Chess Club at the McAllister Public Library, September 16th. This is an ongoing event, but it's a very cool recurring event at McAllister. It's a chess club for all ages and skill levels. If you don't know how to play, they'll teach you. Chess baffles me, so I feel like I need to head over to I love McAllister, by the way.
Yeah.
I could spend a weekend just hanging out in McAllister. It's a cool town.
It is.
The tourism people there are the nicest people. Like, they are so nice.
Let's put McAllister on the schedule for one of our next cities to do.
Let's definitely do it, because it's a cool. They have a great downtown, tons of good shopping. We went there to do a story one time, and I ended up spending like $75 on just stuff, because I couldn't. Every time we'd go in a store, I'd be like, I want that. Like, their little main street, like, if you come through town and kind of go down the hill, it's awesome. It's a cool town. So September 16th in McAllister, you can learn how to play chess. If you already are really, really good at chess, you can become a mentor and teach other people how to play chess. And it's a brain expander. It's a cool deal. It's like there's kind of – they've done studies about like kind of the neurological effects of chess, and it's a positive thing. So I would say definitely check out the McAllister Chess Club.
Absolutely. If you are near Ada on September 17th, you should stop by the Pontotoc County Agriplex for Circusaurus. Carson and Barnes Circus is changing the Agriplex into a time machine to take guests back to an era when dinosaurs ruled the land. The extinct giants of the past and the endangered Asian elephants of today clash under the big top in this thrilling adventure.
I have to not tell my nephew about that. He's going to demand I take him. In Tulsa, Art House Theater Day, a screening of In Fabric. So our friends at Circle Cinema in Tulsa, shout out to our buddy Chuck Foxen, are celebrating Art House Theater Day with a showing of the horror comedy In Fabric, in which a life-transforming dress becomes a malevolent curse. I have had that happen with many of my clothes.
Yes.
And it usually involves something about me, my clothes having something to say about my current diet.
It's an A24 film.
Which, they make great films. Lady Bird is one of theirs. Yeah.
They've been doing all those really amazing.
Yeah, Call Me By Your Name.
Midsummer, I think, is one of theirs as well.
Yeah.
So, in Tahlequah, September 19th through the 21st, it's a 3-day Medicine Stone Music Festival at the Diamond Head Resort. Jason Bolin and the Stragglers, Robert Earl Keen, Park McCollum, and so many more people that you will not believe it. It's an Americana-rich music festival. I absolutely recommend it. More info at www.medicinestoneok.com.
I'm going to have to look at that because that is my jam. That kind of music is
I was
exactly
say,
where I
like
live,
I,
where my heart lives. Is in
I'm
that
surprised
kind of
you're
stuff.
Not pulling out tickets and
I
showing
know.
Them to me right now.
That's kind of surprising. And I love Tahlequah, so that's like double awesome. So at Wishbone Scratch Kitchen in Duncan, there is Blues, Brews, and Barbecue on September 20th. Oklahoma City's Vanessa House Beer Company. They have some really good beer, by
so
the way.
Good.
And local blues band Blueprint are coming together for a big event. $25 admission covers an all-you-can-eat barbecue buffet, two beers of your choice, a night of live music, and a chance to win a really cool swag bag.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. If you love barbecue, who doesn't love barbecue? Well, vegetarians don't love barbecue. But
I think vegetarians
We actually got a letter once. We did a big cover feature on barbecue, and someone wrote to us and said, why didn't you cover any vegan barbecue places? And I was like, if you know of any, let us know.
I mean, you can definitely barbecue tofu.
Yeah.
I've definitely barbecued vegetables before.
Okay, yeah.
But it's
sort of a contradiction in terms. Like vegan bar, like I feel like if you're going to go vegan, maybe there's some sacrifices that you're going to have, and barbecue is going to have to be one of
my,
them, probably.
My biggest worry is trying to pick out just only two Vanessa House beers because that 401k cream ale calls to me every single time.
That thing is great.
You know, my favorite thing about Vanessa House is that all of their beers are inside jokes. It's literally a
That's
group
great.
Of, I want to say, five or six guys
who
all went to school in Norman, lived in this house on Vanessa, which is where the name comes from, Vanessa House. And they like the Broken Tile IPA and the Lost Keg and like they just because they've been brewing beer together for years. So yeah, anyway,
it's one of my favorite things about our local brew scene is these guys are having so much fun.
They are,
and it shows in the product
and making really great beer too.
Yeah.
Enid Pride is September 21st in downtown Eden.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is cool. I'm glad they're doing this.
They're going to have guest speakers, live music, food vendors, sale booths, and a drag pageant. And it's a family-friendly event as well. So noon to 5 p.m. downtown Enid. That's Enid Pride.
Cool. Elks Lodge in Bartlesville. Bartlesville is one of my favorite places to go in Oklahoma. I love this town. Shout out to our buddy Maria Gus, who runs tourism up there. September 21st, there's an all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast benefiting the Washington County SPCA, so benefiting animals, which is great. Our animal issue is on newsstands right now.
Please
you'll pick
it
up. Yeah. It includes pancakes, bacon, not the issue. The pancake breakfast includes pancakes, bacon, sausage, eggs, coffee, and juice. Tickets are $6 in advance or $7 at the door. For something like this, I always try to pay at the door unless I think it's going to sell out.
Sure.
Cause it's like, here's that extra buck.
Yeah.
You know, it's no skin off my nose. But anyway, they're also going to have adoptable animals. So if you're looking for a new four-legged pal, maybe our animal issue inspired you.
Mm-hmm.
And cars from the Oldies and Goodies Car Club. So you can browse animals and old automobiles.
Yeah.
And eat pancakes. This sounds like a great morning to me. Yeah.
You should definitely find your way to Ponca City on September 21st and 22nd for the Ponca City Arts Festival. It put on by the Ponca City Art Association. It's a juried fine art show bringing in artists from across the country to share their works. And it's not just for looking. There's some doing there as well. There's an interactive art area, a children's art area, some live demonstrations, live entertainment, and, of course, food and drink, all next to the historic Soldani Mansion.
Cool. This next one is actually one of my favorite Oklahoma City events every year. I love this thing. My best friends live in Mesta Park in Oklahoma City, which is a cool historic neighborhood.
Super cool.
I love it.
I used to go to this park nonstop with my kids when I lived closer to the area.
Yeah. It's a great park to go to anytime. But this is Mesta Festa 2019. It's September 22nd. The Mesta Park Neighborhood Association introduced Mesta Festa in 1995, which I think is the year that our intern was born. No, she was born in 1997, which is super weird. Anyway, it's a fundraiser for beautification and improvements to this beautiful, beautiful historic neighborhood. The tradition has evolved and expanded over the years, but the mission remains the same, to invest in the neighborhood and uphold the sense of community its founders have envisioned ever since it was founded. So that's really cool. 12 to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 22nd. Something for everyone, really, like everyone can enjoy this. Two urban beer gardens, live music, family activities, sand volleyball, local artists, pop-up booths for shopping. It is a cool fall event. It's right after the beginning of fall. I love Mesta Festa.
It started out as a beautification thing, mm-hmm. and it still is, but so much of it is about community building and getting out and seeing people, meeting your neighbors.
Yeah.
Even, you know, maybe you don't live in the area. That's fine.
I don't live in Mesta Park,
but go meet their neighbors.
Yeah.
Like, understand your community a little bit better.
I my neighborhood does a lot of these things because mm-hmm. I live in a historic neighborhood in Oklahoma City, and we have a kind of a green space there in the neighborhood, and there's always a lot of, you know, neighborhood gatherings, and I confess I don't go to enough of them, but I think it's, you know, I really think that, especially in this day and age, as kind of divided and sheltered as everyone is, I think just getting out and saying hi to your neighbors and meeting them and knowing who they are, I think it increases things like civility and human connection and safety.
Yes.
You know, if you know who your neighbors are, you know, you can rely on them for things and kind of look out for each other. I'm really lucky to have that on my street. That's why I've lived there for almost 15 years. And, you know, the neighbors all know each other and we talk and we trade info, and not just on Nextdoor, which is the cesspool of the internet. But, you know, it's a very cool thing, and so I hope that every neighborhood will do something like this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and if you would like to get out and see more of your state, get to know more of the people in the state, you can do so at least a little bit by picking up a copy of Oklahoma Today magazine on newsstands all across the state. And, of course, visit us online at oklahomatoday.com. Thank you so much for listening, folks. If you would, if you like it, and you know what, honestly, even if you don't like it, please go rate and review us 5 stars on, that's just it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like it, still give us 5 stars. That's what we're asking here. We want you to lie to the people at Apple, Stitcher, anywhere, any other podcasts. Tell a friend, tell them, to subscribe to the podcast as well. Listen along with us.
Yeah.
Thank you again to MIO, Made in Oklahoma Coalition, our sponsor.
Yeah.
And we want to say a special thanks for our theme song, which our production manager Bridget Sloan composed. Really a little jaunty little tune. I remember the first time I heard it, and I was like, that's amazing.
No, we were giddy. I think I squealed.
You did.
Yeah.
You did. I thought someone had let a pig loose.
They did. It was not.
So, again, thank you guys so much for listening. This has been Greg Elwell and
Nate Gunner.
We hope you hear from us again next week.